Hello and welcome to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not so old. I'm Richard Davis, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next hour. Coming up in that time, we'll be hearing about a local singing group known as the Women of Note. Then we'll be hearing about the work of the Carers Centre, and in particular, its new Carers Helpline. And finally, we'll be finding out about the strangely named Love Supreme Jazz Festival. As usual, we'll be giving out various email addresses, website addresses, and telephone numbers during the course of the programme, so you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. So, let's get started with Women of Note. Just recently, their musical director, Carla Basakian, came into the studio to tell me all about them. I began by asking her, who are Women of Note?
They're a lovely bunch of women from Brighton and the surrounding area. When I came to them to take over as MD, there were 13 of them. A couple have come out for various reasons and commitments and so on, and now there are 11 of them. They've been singing together for a long, long time in different incarnations, in different groups, one of which was called Lip Sync. They're a lovely bunch who just love singing together.
So it's a women's choir, basically.
It is, yeah.
And I gather from what you say that you didn't start it.
No, they've been going for a few years now. They had another MD who also played piano for them. And when I took over, I convinced them that although I couldn't play piano, I could conduct them. So we ship in a pianist to help us out. And at the moment, that person is Jonathan Lee, who's really a supportive and brilliant pianist. We're having a lot of fun together rehearsing and practicing for our next concert.
So when did the group start?
I couldn't tell you the exact date, but they've been going for a few years now.
What sort of age range do you have among the members?
Well, I've never sat and asked them their ages because you can't do that with ladies, can you? But I think they range from about late 30s up to 50s, that sort of thing.
Yes, quite a nice range, really.
It is, yeah.
Where do they normally perform?
So they perform in various churches around Brighton, Stamford Methodist Church, St Luke's Prestonville are the two that I've been involved with. But I know they've reached far and wide around the surrounding area of Brighton as well.
And how many concerts do you aim to give a year?
We're usually doing 2 to 3. Yeah, so we try to do something in the spring. If people want us to come along and perform at their event, then that's all good. It's all for charity. And then we're doing a big summer one, and then we'll do something at Christmas.
Is there a particular charity that you support? Or?
Yes, at the moment we're raising quite a lot for Sussex Nightstop, which is a homeless charity. It's for the teenaged people, and the premise of it is that people put somebody up in their own home, and it's enabling that to happen. They use the finances for that. That's the basic premise. One of the members is heavily involved in that outside of Women of Note, and so we're all very keen to support that charity. I think we're helping them reach one of their targets, which is a really fulfilling thing.
So the members perform because they enjoy it rather than for any financial gain?
They do, yeah. They all enjoy it, and I enjoy doing it with them too. Everything's for charity, and it's all done in a real sense of good fun and camaraderie and helping others. After a concert, we're all really buzzing and feeling good about what we've just done because it's so enjoyable.
What sort of music does the choir perform?
It's a huge mixture, actually, and that's one of the things I love about working with these girls, because when I came onto the scene with them, it was apparent from the beginning that we had a very, very similar taste in the kind of material we like to do. So they were already covering a real range of material, and we've also got our own arranger, who's another member of the group, called Rebecca Ferrari. And she's a very clever lady. She sings, she plays piano, and she composes. So because she knows all the members really well and their voices, she can really create some wonderful arrangements, usually in 6 to 8 parts, which is always a challenge. But obviously it's nice to have a challenge. So she's arranged all kinds of pieces, ranging from A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square to 90s electropop, as in the piece she did for us called Autobahn. So there's never a dull moment, and it's all pretty exciting stuff.
Yes, and fairly taxing at times, I would imagine.
It is, it's challenging, but I think that's always a good thing, to have some simple pieces and then some more exciting and challenging ones as well, because it's stretching the people and their voices and what we can do. And there's a huge amount of scope in this group. So for me, that's part of the excitement.
Now, you've got a concert coming up fairly soon, haven't you?
We have. We're currently rehearsing for a concert in July, which is on the 7th of July at 7 p.m. at St Luke's Prestonville. And that's going to be a frocks and fizz affair. So we're all dressing up in our posh frocks, and we're going to be performing a summer concert, including pieces ranging from early music to English folk to jazzy pieces and pop.
And is there an admission charge for the concert?
It's usually a donation, so that people can pay what they feel. Hopefully they'll think we're fabulous and they'll give us plenty of money for our wonderful cause. And I think a bucket may go round at some point, or a basket at the entrance. So if people feel they want to be extra generous, then they can.
So people don't need to book in advance. They can just turn up on...
Absolutely. They can just turn up and fill up that church and enjoy having a really nice evening with us.
What date was that?
That's the 7th of July at 7 p.m. St Luke's Prestonville. And we will perform from 7 till 8, and then there'll be nibbles and drinks afterwards.
Cara, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Cara Barsahian, the musical director of the all-female singing group Women of Note. Their forthcoming concert is on Saturday, July the 7th, at 7 o'clock at St Luke's Church, Prestonville. Admission is free, but there'll be a collection in aid of charity. Well, I was on a bus recently, and I noticed a poster advertising a new website called The Carers Hub, which describes itself as a new service empowering unpaid carers across Brighton and Hove. Well, I made some more inquiries, and I discovered that The Carers Hub is actually run by the Brighton and Hove Carers Centre. So I invited Chris Lau from The Carers Centre to come into our studio to tell us more about it. I began by putting it to him that although The Carers Hub is a new service, the Carers Centre has been running for some time.
Yes, this year, 2018, is our 30th birthday. We started in March 1988.
Right.
So it's a 30-year birthday this year, so, yeah.
And what function does the Carers Centre perform?
The Carers Centre provides emotional support, information advice, advocacy work, events and activities for unpaid carers. So basically, people just need some help or some guidance or some kind of advice, then we can provide those kind of things.
That's very useful. I should imagine there are quite a lot of unpaid carers in the Brighton and Hove area.
Yeah, it's just under 28,000 in the last census, 2011. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a lot. And then also, as you know, because carers terminology, a lot of people think it's kind of care workers in a care home and all the things like that. So I think that's the reason why we always say care center and do you look after someone? Mm. So that's the catchphrase that we use to kind of capture those people that don't see themselves as a carer. Because a lot of people, they just say, I'm a husband, I'm the wife, I'm a child, I'm a daughter for my relatives, and I just look after them. That's my duty.
Yes.
So they didn't know that there's some help out there, and a lot of people are kind of caring for maybe 2 or 3 years until they realize that they are doing some kind of really amazing job and without any help.
How do people normally get in touch with you?
Basically, word by mouth and by phone call, by email, and some people come across basically just through their friends and relatives, and they say, oh yeah, you want some help, maybe there's a care center there for you. And we got quite a lot of referral from the local authorities as well, because hospitals and social workers, so and so forth, yes.
Now, you've recently set up a helpline, haven't you?
That's right. Yeah, we started in October last year because we got the funding from the local authorities to set up a helpline called Carers Hub, and it's 01273-977-000, that number. It's a Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
And is there an answering machine when there's nobody there?
Absolutely, yes.
So people don't just get the phone ringing and
no... No, we have a voicemail for people to leave a message. Yeah, so we will back to them.
So this is an improvement on people just phoning you because they've been referred to you.
Yes.
It's the sort of thing that if somebody's feeling desperate and they can't cope, they can just get on the line to you.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think sometimes people just want to get a piece of information, and then they've been kind of going around and then been kicked around like a football, and they say, oh no, not me, and you try this one. Oh, try that one. But this one is a one entry point for carers. So no matter what role you're doing in caring, you just phone us. And if we can't help you, we will be able to signpost you or refer you to a right agent. So that's an improvement. That's an improvement for everyone. Yes.
And has it been going well since it started?
Yeah, it's a very, very short time. We've only been for 6 months. But yeah, we're doing extremely well. And we got a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and a lot of referrals from agencies. But we've been kind of doing this kind of publicity a lot, and we leave flyers and leaflets and doing exhibition and display and all the things just to promote it, because as you know, nowadays a lot of people using social media, so we put on Facebook, we put on Twitter, on our website, and try to promote it as much as we can.
Yes, and I saw your advertisement on a bus the other day.
Yeah, Brighton Hove Bus Company, they are amazing. They are so supportive. This is the second time they put our flyer on their bus. Yeah, really helpful.
Now, what services does the Carers Centre provide?
The Carers Centre basically providing information, advice and support, but we also do peer support groups for carers. So we have 5 areas in the city. And then we do like a coffee morning type peer support group. And we also do armed forces, communities that are unpaid carers in the armed forces community. And it's funded by the Royal British Legion. And we're also doing something with carers in terms of engagement. So we engage with carers to get feedback, consult them with specific topics to see what do they feel about it, what do they think about the services and all the things. And also we have a young carers project within the Carers Centre, and it's supporting young carers 6 years old up to 17 years old. So providing all the activities and other things. But young carers are different because we mainly using events and activities to engage them because they're young. So it won't be a coffee morning type.
More like a disco, wasn't it?
Yeah, more or less like playing sport activities, kicking football and doing music, doing face painting and drama and all those kind of things. That's a kid will do, yeah.
Yes, people tend to forget that there are young carers around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's quite a lot of young carers around, and they do need help in schools, and we do have a school project that we go to schools and work with school teachers and staff, and then try to help them to identify young carers in schools. Yeah, I was a young carer myself when I was 11 years old, and at that time I didn't know that I was a young carer because I thought I was just looking after my grandmom. But I have a very, very good bond with my grandmom because I felt kind of a duty bound that I need to look after her. And then she was old, and I need to do all the kind of cooking, shopping, and taking her to hospital and appointments and all stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a kind of a part of my commitment to the care center because I've been working there for 10 years now. So it's kind of, because you just didn't know. You just didn't know until later on. And then when you look back and you say, oh, well, basically I was, yes.
That was one of the things that made you want to actually go and work for the carer centre.
Presumably. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And also, I always work in the charity sector as well. So, because I think sometimes it's about giving back to the community. It's not just a job.
Are you able to arrange for carers to have time off?
Respite.
Yes.
Yeah. Crossroad Care, do you do home-based respite? And also depends on their needs assessment, and some of them have the direct budget to pay for respite as well. So, yes, that's possible. And because carers usually just looking after their care for, and then they don't look after themselves. So if they have a health appointment with the dentist or a GP appointment, they just skip it. And then they just say, oh, well, I don't have time or something. But because Crossroad Cares, they do provide this kind of a home-based respite, and then they don't need to pay for it. And then they can go for the appointments, they can go for the counselling or any health-related appointments.
Are there organisations similar to yours in other towns in Britain?
Yes, in East Sussex, they have the Care for the Carers. And it's another care centre, but they call themselves Care for the Carers. And then in West Sussex, they have a West Sussex Carer Support Project. So, yeah, we do have a lot of different care centres in the UK. Yeah, we are part of the Care Trust membership. So we are affiliated as a member with the Care Trust. And then they got well over nearly 200 members. Yeah. So across the whole country have care centres around.
So the country's well served.
Yes. Yes. I think every big city do have a care centre or crossroads, and then to support unpaid carers.
But I take it from your tone of voice, it could be better.
Yeah, it could be better. Because at this moment, as you know, about the adult social care, the budget reduction and all the stuff like that. So it's quite difficult. For example, you hear the news about the Brighton Hove City Council talk about a budget deficit and
yes,
they need to reduce and all things. So everybody basically are quite tight in their pockets. So we need to kind of be a bit more innovative and be positive about it, and then to kind of get on with it and try to support as much as you can.
Yes, how is the Carers Centre supported?
We basically really are well supported by the local authorities. So we got this big contract called Carers Hub. We won it last year in October. So it's a big chunk of funding support to show that their commitment to supporting unpaid carers. So we are grateful about it. And the rest mainly is from independent trusts and foundations.
And do you get individuals giving you money?
Yes, some. Yeah, some are very, very generous, and then they sell a direct debit or a standing order, and then give us £10 a month or something. Very, very generous people. And occasionally we will get donations from people that want to give us something. So, yeah.
If somebody listening to this is a carer and they want help, how do they get in touch with you?
Call us on 977-000. It's a local number, 01273. Or just email us info@carershub.co.uk.
And Carers Hub is written all as one word?
Yeah, all in one word, yeah. Carershub.co.uk, yes. But just phone us is the best option. 977-000 is the best option for you.
And as you were saying earlier, if there's nobody there, there will be an answering machine.
Yes, exactly. Just leave a message and then we will get back to you. If it's Friday, then we'll get back to you on Monday, but usually we get back to you on the same day. But the line open between Monday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
I was talking to Chris Lau of the Brighton & Hove Carers Centre about their new helpline known as the Carers Hub. You can contact the Carers Hub by telephone on Brighton 977 000. That's 01273 977 000. And the line is manned Monday to Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Outside that time, there is a voicemail service, or to use old terminology, an answering machine, on which you can leave a message and they'll call you back later. You can also contact them by email, and the email address is info@carershub.co.uk. That's info, spelled I-N-F-O, at carershub, typed all as one word, .co.uk. And there's a website where you can find out more, which is www.carershub.co.uk. That's www.carershub.co.uk. By the way, during the course of that interview, Chris Lau also mentioned another organisation which is able to provide respite care. In other words, to take over the caring responsibilities for a short while to allow a regular carer to get some time off. The organisation is called Crossroads Care Brighton, and you can contact them by phone on Brighton 234021. That's 01273 234021. They also have a website, which is www.esbhcrossroads.org.uk. That's www.esbhcrossroads, typed all as one word, .org.uk. Well, if you've just joined me, a very warm welcome to you. My name is Richard Davis, and this programme is entitled At Home This Morning. It's a magazine programme intended for older listeners, and it's being broadcast on Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM and DAB Digital Radio in the Brighton area, and also on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. Well, I seem to be going through a time of spotting things on posters just recently. I was down in the centre of Brighton the other day, and I noticed a poster, this time on a lamppost, advertising a jazz festival which goes by the name of Love Supreme. It struck me as a rather odd name for a music festival, so I decided to find out more. Luckily, I have a friend who's very keen on jazz. Her name's Lynn Shields, and I invited her to come into the studio to tell us about the festival. She's here with me now. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Richard. Love Supreme is a festival I've been going to for the last 6 years now. It's described as a jazz festival, but in all honesty, it covers an awful lot more than that. Indeed, some of the criticism levelled against it in the past has been that it's not been jazzy enough. I would say, however, that it's a really comprehensive festival. It's based in Glynde. There are three main stages: the main stage, the big top, and the arena. And then there's also a stage called the Bandstand, which is organised by two young local musicians, Jack Kendon and Eddie Meyer, who organise the new generation gigs at the Verdict in Edward Street. The Bandstand stage actually includes an awful lot of local bands. The arena is usually what I would regard as being the key jazz site. This year, for instance, at the arena, you'd be able to see Portico Quartet, Ezra Collective, Dennis Baptiste, and Zara McFarlane. Especially interesting are the kind of what I would call the after parties, where they have jazz in the round from 11:15 onwards. At that, I'm really looking forward this year to seeing a young man called Rob Luft. Rob Luft is a very, very talented young man in his 20s, a jazz guitarist. And I heard Rob play recently at the Verdict Jazz Club. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing him play at the Love Supreme Festival.
How long's the festival been running for?
The first festival was 2013, and this will be its sixth year.
And it's been very successful over that time, presumably.
It has. It's built up considerably. It started off in quite a small way, I think. They were testing the market for a jazz festival of this kind. But it received, in the first couple of years, it received such really good write-ups as far as all the jazz journals were concerned. It was just a lovely setting. Glynde is beautiful. The setting was great. The organisation was very good and continues to be very good. And therefore, I think everybody who's gone along, like me, they tend then to continue to go. I haven't missed a year since 2013.
Well, you're obviously a very enthusiastic supporter of the festival. Do you normally go for the whole weekend?
I normally go for the full weekend because I'm a happy camper. So I take my tent. There's a group of about 15 of us who normally meet up at this jazz festival. We arrive on the Friday afternoon. There are events on the Friday evening, which kind of a gentle build-up for the weekend ahead. Obviously, the two main days are the Saturday and the Sunday. And then we normally stay on and pack up on the Monday morning, meaning that we can really enjoy ourselves right up until the end on the Sunday night. I would say if you're going to go for the camping, don't expect to have much sleep. Things don't really wind down until about 2 a.m. So I have to say that when I'm in my tent, the one thing I ensure that I have are earplugs. Otherwise, I'd never get any sleep at all.
How much does it cost?
It is quite an expensive weekend to attend. If you're going for the full weekend and you're going to do the full weekend's camping, then it's about £170. But on the other hand, you get to see a whole range of musicians that would otherwise, if you were paying £10 per ticket to go and see them, it would add up to probably a lot more than that. And you've also got the joy of having the fun of camping out as well. There's such a choice on things like food outlets, the bars, obviously. There's a cocktail lounge normally. So it really is a very full weekend, and an awful lot is on offer for that £170.
Well, you're obviously an enthusiastic camper who wants to be there for the whole weekend, but is it possible to attend for just one day?
If you're interested in just going for either Saturday or Sunday, it's round about £50 per day. There are family tickets, non-camping tickets, so it really would be a good idea to go and investigate that to see exactly what's on offer.
OK, so how do you go about getting tickets?
Tickets are available mainly online, and this is an old bugbear of mine with all information and tickets being available online. Not everybody's online. And even if you're online, actually, I've tried to find an awful lot of information about people who may be playing in the bands with the headliners. You never get that kind of detail, which is quite frustrating if you are interested in finding out who's playing with the headliners. You can get tickets in Brighton through Resident Records, so you can pop in there and maybe they'll have some more information. There's an outlet called the Vinyl Frontier at Eastbourne where you can get tickets. And there's also the Tourist Information Centre at Lewis.
There is a website that you can get information from, isn't there?
There is a website, yes. And that's just, I always just Google Love Supreme. So sorry, yeah, it's probably lovesupreme.co.uk. I have no idea. I always just Google it.
Yes, I tried that and it came up straight away with the right site.
With the right site, yes. Great.
Well, one thing we haven't said so far is what the dates of the festival are.
The dates for Love Supreme are from Friday the 29th of June to the 1st of July.
And what time does it start on the Friday?
Well, The people who I go camping with, we normally arrive about midday, which gives us a couple of hours to set up camp, get ourselves sorted, find our feet, find out where we are on the campsite. And then things normally kick off around about 6 o'clock on the Friday evening. But I think the Friday evening is only for those people who are camping, because you can only get day tickets for the Saturday and the Sunday.
OK, Lynn, well, thanks very much for coming into the studio to tell us about the Love Supreme Jazz Festival. And as I said earlier, you're obviously a great enthusiast for it.
I've loved it. I've been going since 2013. It's one of the festivals that I think, because of the size, is much more attractive to me. Some of the really big festivals, they're too big for me now. I just find the whole thought of a really massive festival too much to cope with. Last year, I think the numbers attending Love Supreme were round about the 20,000 mark. I'm sure they're hoping for more this year because they've been building on it year on year. But that's kind of a really nice size festival for me. That's why I go to Love Supreme. That's why I'll be going again this year. And if any of you are interested on finding out whether or not it's the kind of thing you might like, then maybe a day ticket would suit you so that you can get a flavour of what's on offer.
Lynn, thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Lynn Shields has been telling me about the Love Supreme Jazz Festival, which takes place at Glynde between Friday the 29th of June and Sunday the 1st of July. You can get more details from their website, and if you just search for Love Supreme Jazz Festival, you'll find it very easily. Lynn also mentioned a shop in Brighton where you could get tickets and more information. It's called Resident Records, and I can now tell you that it's located in Kensington Gardens. And that brings us to the end of our programme for this time. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything you've heard in this edition of At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time. But in the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with me to let me know what you think of the programme, or perhaps to suggest items you might like me to cover in future editions, I'd love to hear from you. There are two ways of getting in touch. You can either contact me by email at the following address, info@greymattersproductions.org.uk. That's info, spelled I-N-F-O, at Grey Matters Productions, which is typed all as one word, .org.uk. Or you can contact me via the Radio Reverb website. If you go to the website and find the page that's devoted to At Home This Morning, you can send me an email from there. And whichever method you choose, I'd love to hear from you. Well, it now only remains for me, Richard Davis, on behalf of Grey Matters Productions, who make this programme for Radio Reverb, to thank everyone who's taken part in the programme. Once again, to thank you for listening, and until we meet again, to wish you all the very best. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb.